for hour number three of National Post Radio with Emily Jackson.
Welcome back to National Post Radio. I'm Emily Jackson, and you're listening to SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167. This week, the world lost Stephen Hawking, an incredible physicist and incredible human being who inspired people around the world with his discoveries and with his perseverance in light of the illness he had, ALS. I'm here to talk about his life and career. We're joined by astroparticle physicist and executive director of Snow Lab, Canada's deep underground research facility in Sudbury, Ontario. He's also a member of the Canadian Association of Physicists. We're joined now by Dr. Nigel Smith. Good morning.
Good morning, Emily.
Thank you so much for joining us today to talk about Stephen Hawking. I know he's a remarkable man and a man who you've actually met when you were working at Snow Lab.
That's right. I've actually met Stephen a couple of times in my professional career. Once when I was talking at a conference, basically sharing a session with Stephen. And then, as you say, he visited Snow Lab in 2012 when we did our grand opening here. And we had a lot of fun taking him underground, showing him the sort of research that we're doing here and the connections of the experimental physics that we have here to the theoretical physics that he was involved in.
What can you tell our listeners a little bit about Snow Lab and what is it, and how did you convince Stephen Hawking to come visit?
Sure. So Snow Lab is it's a deep underground research facility. And what we mean by that is that we're 2 kilometers under the surface of the Earth. So we're actually operating in a nickel mine near Sudbury, the Crichton-Nickel Mine. It's run by Vale. And the reason that we need to be deep underground is that we're doing projects where we're looking for very small signals from the cosmos, from the sun, from outer space, and we're trying to make sure that we don't confuse those signals with the signals that we would see on the surface. As we sit on the surface, we're actually bombarded by radiation from outer space called cosmic rays, and these cosmic rays would disturb our detectors sufficiently that we wouldn't see these very small signals that we're searching for. And the sort of science that we're looking at neutrinos, which are subatomic particles that we know exist. And we know that they're streaming through us all the time from the sun, for instance. And then the other field that we work on is dark matter research. Now, dark matter is probably where Stephen was more heavily connected, in that dark matter is material. We know it's out there in the cosmos because we can see its effects gravitationally. So the way that it has affected the formation of the galaxies and the evolution of the universe. But what we don't know is what actually is it. We don't know what sort of material this is. And we think it's a new type of subatomic particle that we're searching for. Now, the connection with Stephen is that a lot of his work was to do with the early universe and connecting things like general relativity, the theory of gravity, and quantum mechanics and quantum physics in the early universe, and looking at how the universe formed and evolved. And so the dark matter is an integral part of that story in terms of the evolution of the universe. And that was really his interest in coming here. So we had a grand opening in 2012 when Snow Lab itself was opened. And Stephen, unfortunately, couldn't make the grand opening. He was ill at the time with pneumonia, so he couldn't fly over to Canada. But a couple of months later, we basically, out of the blue, we got an email from him saying, yeah, I want to take you up on that offer to visit Snow Lab, and I want to go underground, which was just fantastic. So we had a full day with Stephen. We took him fully underground, 2 kilometers underground, showed him the experiments that we were doing, and had a great time discussing the physics with him.
And you were speaking a lot about dark matter, and he's famous for his research on black holes, and that resulted in something called Hawking radiation. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I'm sure you can explain this much better than I can, but when he was visiting your lab, were you guys able to talk about science, and what was that like interacting with him?
Absolutely. I mean, he was a physicist, first and foremost. I mean, I know obviously he was a great personality, you know, and engaged in communication and inspiration. You know, he was on Big Bang Theory and The Simpsons and so on. But first and foremost, he was a physicist. And when he visited Snow Lab, he was really interested in the experiments that we were doing here and really interested in making that connection between the experimental physics that we're doing with the theoretical physics that that he was interested in. I mean, from his perspective, you know, he got a wicked sense of humor. And you know, one of the comments he made is that, you know, I'm glad that somebody after 20 years is finally looking at stuff that that I was thinking about. And that's you know, that's the sort of guy he was. He was, you know, was a really good sense of humor. So we were able to talk to him about the research we were doing here, the dark matter research, and you know, talk also about the stuff he was doing. The Hawking radiation that you reference, I mean, that's one of his more famous areas, where he was looking at, say, the connection of gravity and quantum mechanics. And Hawking radiation was really startling, because up to that point, black holes, everybody had thought there was nothing could escape from a black hole. I mean, they're called black because even light can't escape from the black hole. But at the surface of a black hole, you can have these weird quantum mechanical effects where basically things get created. And from the quantum mechanics, you can get two particles created, one that falls into the black hole and one that gets ejected into the rest of the universe. And that's the Hawking radiation. And the startling thing that means is that black holes can actually evaporate. They lose energy. And that was such a transformational concept in physics, and you know, that's why he's you know, he's rightly viewed as somebody who you know, is an incredibly strong physicist.
What kind of legacy is he leaving behind for the physics community in places like Snow Lab that are working on these theories?
I think there are two areas that are really striking. There's the physics itself. So, as I say, the concept of Hawking radiation, the concept that black holes can actually evaporate and you can lose things from black holes is pretty startling. But then he had his fingers in many different areas, and you know, the things like gravitational waves was another area that he did some early research on. And gravitational waves was one of the observations that won the Nobel Prize last year. And that shows you the breadth of the research that he was engaged in. He was looking at the early universe, the theory of everything, how you might start the universe, basically, how the universe came into being. And so he set up many different threads in the physics community, in the physics world. And I think that's the physicist legacy. But there's also the social legacy that, you know, he was a real inspiration to everybody. I mean, you know, the books that he wrote, The Brief History of Time, many people, of course, will have read that and been inspired by the way that he was able to present his ideas in an accessible way. And I think the inspiration, to be honest, is probably a key legacy from him, that, you know, he has really brought a lot of people into science and understanding the sort of complex things that he was doing in an accessible way. And, you know, basically just making people really inspired by the work he was doing,
which is incredible, you know, to be able to communicate those very complex topics. I'm sure many people, when they hear quantum mechanics, are just immediately, their brain shuts down. And his ability to communicate those to the general public and get people excited about science was certainly a remarkable thing. What was it like for you speaking with him and working with him on panel discussions? And how did that shape how you saw the world?
Well, I think it was very inspirational for physicists as well. I mean, the tour that we had underground was just such a great day. Even the logistics of getting them underground. Snow Lab is a clean room, which means that when people go in, we actually make everybody take a shower to get any of the mine dust off, which is slightly radioactive as far as we're concerned. And so there's a whole process of going through into Snow Lab to make sure that you're working in a clean room state. So it's a class 2000 clean room. It's not quite like a semiconductor lab, but it's cleaner than an operating theater.
Wow. So are you in, you know, like the white outfits and the gloves and the masks and everything?
Pretty much. It's not quite at that level, but pretty much. And of course, Stephen being in a wheelchair, we needed to manage that in a different way. And we had what was built. We basically had a rail car built known as the Hawking Mobile, which we could take him down the shaft and take him along into Snow Lab. And then take him through the double door sets that we have. So we made sure he was clean on the surface, and then took him in the lab there. So even the logistics was great interacting with Stephen to explain why we were doing that. He fully understood the concept of the clean room and why we needed to do this because of the potential radiation getting into the detectors. So it was great talking to him as basically a professional physicist, and that was highly inspirational.
And also, a great side effect is the clean room, the lab, is now wheelchair accessible. So there you have it.
That's right.
Nigel, any final thoughts on Stephen Hawking that we can leave people thinking about as they go off to their weekends, maybe thinking a little bit about physics and how the universe was created?
Well, I think that's the key thing, actually, Emily, is that he was such an inspirational character because he touched so many people, both the physics community, the professional community, but also more generally within society. And I think he really brought physics and science to the forefront in a way which was accessible, and that will be a really strong legacy.
Absolutely. Dr. Nigel Smith, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Dr. Nigel Smith, an astroparticle physicist and executive director of Snow Lab, Canada's deep underground research facility in Sudbury, Ontario. That's about 2 kilometers underneath the ground, so they can study particles without all the radiation that we are dealing with on the Earth's surface here. He's telling us about the life and times of Stephen Hawking, who actually took a visit to Snow Lab back in 2012. Stephen Hawking passed away earlier this week, leaving behind an incredible legacy of research in physics, and as well a personal legacy of just his humor, his inspiration, and his sense of perseverance through dealing with ALS, a disease that affects many people very deeply. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking more about UK Prime Minister's Theresa May's face-off with Russian's Vladimir Putin. All that and more after the break, right here on National Post Radio on Sirius XM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
The NBA is live on Canada Talks tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Dallas Mavericks at Toronto Raptors, right here on Sirius XM 167.